Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Welcome to another episode of Solano Moms Building Community Podcast. We're honored to welcome Nancy Dunn, president of the Vacaville Unified School District Board, to our latest episode. A leader whose voice, vision, and values reflect the heart of our evolving community. With over 26 years of service in Vacaville as an educator and former president of the Fairfield Sassoon Teachers Association, Nancy brings a deep-lived understanding of both the student and administrative experience in public education. Now as president of the school board, she continues to advocate for safer, more inclusive, and community-reflective schools where students thrive and educators are empowered to stay and grow. Nancy believes schools should reflect the community they serve. Decisions must be grounded in the specific needs of each school. Diversity, growth, and adaptability are key to educational success. Public education is the foundation of a strong, united community. Nancy's leadership is about honoring the past, embracing the present, and preparing for a more equitable tomorrow. I would like to welcome my co-host, Patty Phillips.
Hi, Maria.
How are you doing?
It's been a while, huh?
It has been a while. I have been really busy with Tomorrow's Table podcast, so I'm sorry you don't get to see me as much.
I know, it's very sad. We live next door to each other. I live right there.
Yes.
So, and but it's so warm today.
It is warm, yeah, and I'm like wearing a long sleeve, but it's also deceiving because it's windy, too.
Yeah. Right.
So,
if it wasn't windy, it'd be really hot.
Really hot. And we have a special guest today. Our guest, we're honored to have Nancy Dunn, Vacaville Unified School District School Board President. Welcome.
Welcome. Well, thank you. I'm so excited to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
Well, I was really excited when I invited you and you said yes. And in my head, I said yes. And we put your picture as the normal procedure on our website. We have a lot of questions for you, some tough ones.
Okay. Oh. I think questions are great. I am here because I want to answer questions. Mostly, I want to hear what the questions are. Because I may not have the answer, but if when I know the question, if I don't have the answer today, I can have it in the future.
Attagirl.
So I am all about, let's bring those on.
I think that's amazing because also when we bring individuals such as yourself to our platform is what the people, what do they want? What do they want to hear? Where do we want to work on to make our community a better place? Or there's something that you don't see, we don't see, and they bring it awareness to it. And then we tell you and there we go.
Yeah.
Then exactly. You don't know what you don't know. So if I can't find out what's on the community's mind, then I can't do a good job serving the community. So again, super excited to be here.
Yay.
Thank you.
Well, let's start with, can you share what motivated you to run for the USD Board of Trustees and how your journey led you to become board president?
Sure. Well, I never had any intention of running for public office until I was getting near the end of my teaching career. I'm a second career teacher. I spent about a decade in private industry, and then it was time to sort of change it up and transform, and so I became a teacher after attending UC Davis, and I worked for 25 years in Fairfield Sassoon as a classroom teacher. The last six, I was actually on a full-time release to be the union president for the Fairfield Sassoon teachers. But the great thing about that role was that I got to visit every classroom in the district, supporting teachers who were supporting students. I got to work with the central office administration. Mm-hmm. I worked with the board members. And so I was coming near the end of that, about a year to go, and I found out that Shelley Daly, who was the wonderful trustee on the board in my area, had decided not to run for re-election. Mm-hmm. And so one day I'm sitting there and I thought, you know, I have all this experience and I'm a passionate advocate for public education. So maybe this is what my next step is. Maybe this is putting all the pieces together. Mm-hmm. So that's why I decided to run. And then I became board president just because I was honored enough to have the other board members decide that I would be a good person to sort of, you know, spearhead our collective goals. And that's sort of how it came to be. So I'm about in the middle of my term as board president, and I've just been loving it. And, you know, I learn more every day.
Which is amazing. And also, you have 26 years of experience. Yes. So I love when a person takes a higher position as a president or CEO when they have lived, you know, step by step, where they see how they can help. You know what teachers go through. You know what the classroom needs, what schools need. So someone, you being the president, I value that.
Well, you know, I think it's really important to have a diversity of backgrounds on a school board. I mean, I think you have to have all sorts of different inputs and ideas and experiences. But I do think it's really important to have that experience sort of in the trenches. Mm-hmm. And Shelley kind of fulfilled that for a long time. So when she decided not to run again, one of the motivators for me was, I want to make sure there's still that voice of someone who's lived it. And again, I have sort of that mixed background of both the management side from my first career and also the last 6 years in Fairfield Sassoon being the union president. And I thought, you know, I'm going to toss my hat in the ring and see what people think. And
Shelley and was great.
I got her endorsement, which kind of was the last little sealed the deal to run, because, you know, it's a big deal to throw yourself out there into a public election.
It's scary. I always see all these boards there run for president, and yeah, I think it's kind of cool though.
Thank you.
You're welcome. And now that you're the president, what are your daily responsibilities?
Well, the first I'll just say the responsibilities of the board, because really as president, your job is just sort of to focus in on what the board's responsibilities are. So first thing, our responsibility is to supervise the superintendent, you know, set his goals for the year and you know, sort of see how those are being achieved. Second is to set the policies for the district and be sure that they are under compliance. And then probably one of the biggest ones is, you know, we are the fiscal responsibility for the budget of the district. And so as board president, you know, I keep those three things in mind and make sure that as a board, we're staying focused on that's what we're doing, build collaboration and camaraderie. I mean, there are some restrictions around the Brown Act, but that doesn't mean that you can't get together socially. The Brown Act only says you can't get a majority together to discuss agenda items. But that doesn't mean you can't go out to lunch and talk about somebody's vacation or what's going on in their lives or how their job is going or, you know, funny stories about their dog or whatever. So I, you know, as board president, I would say sort of the additional layer is just to continue to foster that idea of collaboration and congeniality and collegiality that we have as a board. It was there when I came in. Mm. I had some great examples from past presidents, and so just trying to keep that rolling forward.
Was Shelley the president when just before you?
No, she wasn't. The two presidents that I was a board member under were Michael Kitzes and John Jansen.
Okay, cool. So educational priorities we're going to talk about. What are the current priorities for Vacaville? And how is the board addressing challenges such as academic achievement gaps and resource allocation?
Right. So when I was thinking about this question, the two main goals, if I can sort of pick an umbrella to discuss sort of probably our two most important goals. First is early literacy. We are firmly committed that every student in Vacaville is going to be reading at grade level by third grade. That is going to greatly address the achievement gap, because study after study talks about early literacy is where the key really is. So that's sort of one big priority. A second major priority is what we have called in the district more than a diploma. So we want to make sure that when our students leave Vacaville Unified, they are college ready or career ready, and everybody is life ready. So, you know, life ready can be things like taking classes in financial literacy, which is one of the new things that we're doing.
Right.
You know, super important. But it's also things like, you know, empathy and tolerance and working as a team and those sort of life skills. You can learn all of those things inside a public school. And then, of course, we're very proud of our CTE programs for our career-ready students and our A through G completers who are, you know, headed off to 2 or 4 year colleges. So I would say those are, if I'm going to pick sort of big umbrella goals, and both of those address the achievement gap, both for our elementary students, our, you know, TK, preschool through third grade, and then also our secondary students.
Great.
With that question, CTE, it's career and technical education.
Yes.
What is that for people that are listening? And then also, how does it prepare students for post-secondary success?
Well, it actually prepares them for success immediately out of high school. But to go back to the original question, back in my day when I was a student, we would probably have called it vocational education. Mm-hmm. But it is so much more than that. And what we have in Vacaville is such a robust offering. And students whose talents, interests, skills are maybe not a 4-year college bound, but we have CTE pathways in culinary. I hate to list them because I'm going to miss some of them. But, you know, culinary, biotech, ag, automotive, building trades, sort of maybe the more traditional things that you would think of with a career technical pathway, but also animal services, animal science and animal services. Medical science is a hugely popular CTE pathways. So we are preparing, you know, people who are going to be phlebotomists and people who want to go into, you know, some level of nursing or other healthcare. So it's CTE is now this very broad, robust part of our district system. And it's really kind of exciting that we have the same percentage completers in our CTE pathways as in our A through G college ready. And the demographics are matching. So when you compare the demographics of the students in our CTE pathways and our A through G requirements, they are matching the demographics of the school. So it's when you talk about post either high school or college careers, these are CTE careers. People are going to have careers that are going to allow them to open businesses, to buy homes, to be, you know, leaders in our community, start businesses here. So we're really tapping into what does each student want and need, and making sure they have a high quality pathway to get there.
Wow. When I retired 10 years ago, there were almost no shop classes. The focus was definitely going toward computers and, you know, electronic types of things. So this is really exciting for me to hear that we've broadened that again.
We have, and we certainly still have. Like, we have a great automotive and building trades program, and then we have a lot of internships with some of the labor unions, some of the car dealerships in town, but also some of the fastest growing careers are, you know, healthcare, hospitality. So, you know, our culinary and our animal science and animal care pathways are really going to match the trends of what is going to be well-paying jobs.
Fantastic.
Yeah, so it's super exciting.
We have
exciting.
Talked about this before, too, yeah. because four-year college is not for everyone, yeah. we have said, and yeah. it's great you're bringing that back, so it gives the options for our youth to choose those careers.
And it's even beyond bringing it back.
Yes.
It's so expanded.
And what I really like to point out is, sort of back in the day, kind of seemed as though the vocational classes were sort of like a thank you for coming prize, you know, but now thanks for playing, but it's no longer a participation ribbon. It is providing career pathways that in some cases are going to be better paying than some jobs that require a four-year degree.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
this is no longer a consolation prize.
Yeah.
It is a pathway for those students who have the talents and the skills and the interests in those areas.
And you will have no student loans, right?
Someone that has gone to college.
Yeah. yeah.
To our next question, community engagement. How does the board engage with parents, students, and community members to ensure their voices are heard in the decision-making process?
Well, I'm going to be upfront and say that this is always a struggle because it is something that I personally, and I think the board in general, is very interested in further developing. Let me tell you some of the ways that we are trying to reach out. So one of the most important ways is trying to get the community involved in the LCAP process. The LCAP is Local Control Accountability Plan. It's how we get our funding. And so as part of the LCAP process, we need to hear from teachers, community members, parents, students, and because that document is what actually directs where the funding goes. So we advertise, we try to get a lot of parents and community members to participate in the LCAP. We just went through a successful budget advisory committee that had community members on it, and we were able to sort of rearrange some of the funds to accomplish some of the goals that I just mentioned earlier. But I'm very happy to say that through that process that included parents and community members, we didn't have to do any layoffs in Vacaville, and we were able to keep any cuts away from the students.
Yeah.
But it was very important that we have those community members. When we have site decisions, we've been working really hard on inviting parents and community members in that neighborhood to come and give input before the board makes a final decision.
Mm-hmm.
And a couple of examples I can just give quickly on that is the location of the central kitchen, which we're really excited about. It's going to be on part of the land where Fairmont Elementary is. And we had community meetings. We listened to neighbors. We also recently unchartered Fairmont from a dependent charter to now an elementary school in our district. And we had parent meetings, community meetings. And it was very important to the board that all of those things happen, and we got all that input before we made either of those decisions. All of those things said, we still think that it is an area that we could improve on. And so really what I would love to hear is we're reaching out in ways that we think are going to work. But if the community has ways, no, this is how we need you to reach out to us. This is how we need to get information to you. I would love to know what those are. Because I think that the more, there are always room for more seats at the table. It's, I think of it like a dining room table that has an infinite number of leaves. You can make it bigger and bigger and bigger. So let's get as many seats around that table as possible.
And school board meetings are open to the public, so people can come anytime they want and speak, right?
Absolutely, and we encourage public comment. We try to make it very friendly and non-intimidating. But I also know, 6:30 on a Thursday night may not work for families with young children or, for any other reasons. So we want to make sure that there's that option and there's also other options.
Yeah. Going on to equity and inclusion, what initiatives has Vacaville implemented to promote equity and inclusion within schools, and what outcomes have you observed?
I think this continues to be a super important part of what we do. I've already mentioned one of the sort of specific outcomes, because we can look at data for some specific outcomes. So seeing that there is the demographic equity in our AP classes and in our CTE pathways that match the demographics of the school. Mm-hmm. That's like one sort of measurement that what we're doing is working. Mm-hmm. We are expanding our CTE pathways, and we're also expanding the number of students who are taking the advanced placement classes and who are passing the AP tests. Oh. And again, if we go back and tie that into, that is matching the demographic of the school. So more students from different backgrounds with different interests are taking the AP classes and passing the AP tests, which is, you know,
huge,
really exciting data to look at. So one of the ways that I can tangibly talk about equity and inclusion in Vacaville is we are considered an AVID district. And so for people who don't know about AVID, it's an acronym that stands for Advancement Via Individual Determination. And it isn't a program. It's not something canned. It is, however, a framework that teaches kids from early on what are the skills and tools they need to be successful, regardless of what success means to them, whether it is a CTE pathway or an A through G requirement or whatever. And that starts in our elementary schools, in every elementary school, and continues all the way up through high school. So when you kind of think about, you know, what we're saying is we are helping kids advance via their individual determination. And what it really does is it helps make the pie bigger. Like, we're not saying, oh, we have, you know, a certain amount available in the district, and, oh, if I carve something out for you, it means a takeaway for someone else. Mm-hmm. What it really is AVID is a way of growing the pie to make all students more able to strive for and achieve what their goals are through their own individual determination. Mm-hmm. So it's something that we're super proud of, and we think of it as a really key to our equity and inclusion. A couple of other pieces, because I could drone on and on about AVID, but I'm really proud that our school board is also showing more diversity and representing more parts of our community. So again, more voices make for better decisions. And we are also very committed to having our workforce, our teachers and our classified and our administrative staff, reflect the makeup of our community in all sorts of different ways. It's challenging to hire right now, but we're also making sure that while we're meeting that challenge, it's with that equity lens, because representation matters, and it matters to our kids who they see in front of their classrooms, who they see greeting them in the front office, who they see driving a bus to a field trip or to school, who's greeting them in the front office. So that is a really high priority, and it's one of the ways. Those are sort of intangible ways, but still very important ways.
That is. I also, when I was reading about you, I read that you said schools should reflect the neighborhoods they serve. What do you mean by that?
Yes, I did say that. and I really mean that. So the way I'll explain it is, some people say the kitchen is the heart of the home. You know, you hear kind of that a lot, because in a kitchen, that's, you know, where connections are made and traditions are passed on, and, you know, you have a feeling of coming together. I think of public schools as sort of the heart of the community. So I think when we strive to have public schools be the heart of their neighborhoods, and seeing it as not just a place where kids are dropped off at 8 in the morning and picked up at 3, but that there's resources for families who need it, that it's a feeling of a community hub, that is going to strengthen not only the students' experience at school, but also the broader community, because now we have these hubs, we have these hearts that are keeping our neighborhoods and our families, you know, revitalized.
Mm. Wow, that was a good answer.
It's from my heart. That's truly one of my baseline beliefs. And, you know, when the first question of, you know, why did you decide to, you know, become a board member, it's really because that is my core message. Yeah. That's really what is near and dear to me.
Yeah. Well, our children spend a lot of time at school. And when the focus the school, you know, they're working hard to bring the right resources for them. I could see my kids, I have a 5 and 9, and they go to their school, and I'm very pleased with how their school is and how they communicate with us from the top to even the yard duty. Everything is explained daily. There's transparency, which is very important for me when it comes to my children and their school, is transparency. Because we know in daily life there's things that always don't go the way we want it. However, if they're transparent and they tell you what's going on, then you can voice your concern and you can all together, because we're all, our goal is to protect our children.
Absolutely. And I would say, and you touched on it, but it's transparency and communication. Those are the two things, because it's been my experience as a classroom teacher and just as a human being, 90% of the time when there is a misunderstanding, it's because there hasn't been transparency and communication. And when those, like, very, I don't want to say simple conversations, because sometimes they're very hard conversations. Mm-hmm. But when you know, start with going back and saying, hey, let me check the facts, or, you know, what is your perspective on this? That a lot of times the problem resolves. And if it doesn't resolve, at least you have a shared, clear understanding of what the actual issue is. And then you can find a solution that is specific to addressing that, as opposed to, you know, a scatter or a
judging it before you know what's going on. I think when, of course, we're parents at 5 and 9, at that age, it's parents, we are all very, we want the best for our little baby. But then also, I think you have to take yourself out of the situation. Some incidents that had happened in their school was taking yourself out, also seeing what the administration is going. And my husband and I, we always talk about it. We're right there to help you. And then, but we also know what steps are being taken, so we feel also a peace of mind when they're at school. So I feel like my child is safe. Luckily, like I said, every time I have emailed the superintendent, their principal, it has been great experience for me.
When I was teaching and I would have parent conferences, I often used, and this is so old-fashioned, I'd probably have to come up with a new one now, but I used to talk about the three-legged milking stools, which, you know, they're now in museums.
But wait, I don't even know what that is. How does
so
it look?
So when you, you know, out on the farm, when you would milk a cow or whatever, the stool that you sat on actually had three legs instead of four.
And that was because oftentimes the floor was not necessarily level, and it's easier to balance three legs than four to make them actually work.
Wow.
So see, the thank you.
Education for me.
And then that really takes the analogy forward, because in education, you don't always have a level floor. I mean, you're not always working. So I would say those three legs, I would say to parents, look, those three legs, if we want to successfully get our task done, in this case, you know, milk the cow, that one of the legs was the teacher, one of the legs was the family, the parent, and one of the legs was the student. And when you had those three legs working together, you could balance on the uneven floor and get your task accomplished.
Ah, I love that. Can I use that for my speeches now?
You sure can, except for you'll have to explain what a milking stool is.
It has some graphics up there.
Yeah. And they'll find out it's not me, because back in the era, I didn't know about that.
Yeah.
For student support services, can you discuss any programs or services that the district offers to support students' mental health and well-being?
It is true that this is now one of probably the most important and significant things that we have to pay attention to. The days of a school district just thinking about math scores or English language arts or science. I mean, those are all still important, but there's additional layers. Just a real quick rundown, because it's super exciting what we have and also what's on the horizon. So we already have 12 mental health clinicians that work in our schools. We are partnered with a wonderful company called Care Solace, which connects families to outside resources. So if you're a family and you are finding yourself in a crisis or just feeling like you need some additional supports, you don't have to go and figure out who's going to take my insurance or who is the best provider for this or that. you can go to Care Solis and they do all that legwork for you. And then I need someone, you know, that can see me in 24 hours, or, you know, I can wait a week. That is all done through Care Solis. So that's a huge resource for our families. Mm-hmm. We have mental health interns through the city of Vacaville that we use. We have guidance counselors at our middle schools and high schools. So all of that is wonderful and all of that is in place, but a couple of really exciting things are on the horizon. First of all, we received a grant, and this is a tongue twister. It's the California Youth Behavioral Health Initiative. Hmm. And it is funded by the state, and we have received a grant, so we are going to be able to use that grant. We are very close to signing the contracts, but it will bring in additional mental health services and resources and trainings that will not come out of our general fund. Mm. And we are very, very close to having that in place. And what we do have in place for next year is we're starting a pilot of a brand new model for some of our students who are in our self-contained special education classrooms. And we are bringing in, as part of the team in those classrooms, registered behavioral technicians. Mm. So they will be able to work side by side with the certificated teacher, but be able to focus on the behavior needs of those students. So again, we're super excited about this. Everybody, every district struggles with, how are we going to address what we are seeing as increasing behaviors? So if this model works, we are hoping to be able to expand it beyond our self-contained special ed classrooms to maybe some additional services for students with IEPs and out hopefully into the general population, because when we can address students' behavioral needs by someone who is trained to do that, not only is that helping that student, but it's helping all of the students in those class, because then the teacher is able to focus on the academics. So again, going back to that achievement gap question, you have to find out what are those root causes, what are those reasons that the achievement gap exists. Mm-hmm. Part of it is we have not done a really great job of dealing with the behaviors in classrooms, mm-hmm. to allow really high quality teaching to happen. So that's a super exciting thing that's happening in Vacaville. And to my knowledge, we're the first district, at least in this general area, that is trying like a brand new model. Mm. So no more, you know, duct tape and chewing gum. We're trying a whole new system, and we're very excited about that.
That is so cool. And I know as a member of NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness, that we were involved in the development of the rooms. There's a room in every school in Solano County where kids can just kind of go, mm-hmm. and decompress and deal with whatever it is that they're fighting emotionally,
yes.
so that they don't disrupt the classroom and that they get the help that they need at the moment.
And so this model will add a person who could go with them, mm-hmm. who could teach them self-regulation skills. Maybe it's as simple as learning some breathing, mm-hmm. or learning how to de-escalate. So we're seeing it as an add-on, a next step in what we are already doing.
It's fantastic.
Yeah.
I love it.
Super excited. But I also just want to give a shout out, because our child nutrition area is head and shoulders above anything I've ever seen. And it's so, we now have universal school meals for all of our students. So all of our students, you no longer have to qualify for free and reduced lunch. So all of our students get breakfast and lunch,
wow.
provided for them at school. And we have more and more students that are taking advantage of that. But you know, as everybody knows, whether you're a parent or an aunt or an uncle or just have been around kids, you have to serve them food that they want to eat.
That they'll eat.
And that is enticing enough that it beats playtime for the little kids or socializing for some of the older students. And we have an absolutely phenomenal child nutrition service.
Wow.
And their school meals are like nothing I ever saw in my day. So I am going to answer the question about mental health services, but I just want to throw in something for our child nutrition
Yay.
Folks, because they are phenomenal.
I actually agree because my kids, like I said, 5 and 9, they, especially my 5-year-old, is very picky. So you have to give him the right. But he tells me, take me to school so I could have lunch. While I have made 1,000 food, all kinds, but he likes the pizza day, I'll tell you that. But what I like is even when it's pizza day, they have trays of fruits. They have variety and options where you can add for your kid the salad option or fruit option. That's what I like.
Absolutely. And, you know, most of the sauces are now being made in the school kitchens. The, you know, some of the bread products are being made there. So it's not the old days of open some plastic and reheat it in a microwave. I mean, if you get a chance to see any of our kitchens, or once we get the central kitchen built, it looks like a restaurant kitchen, and it is producing food that is just phenomenal. So anyway,
Patty, you and I have to go behind the scenes.
I will be happy to hook you up and give you a tour.
Please?
I will.
Yes,
I will do that proudly. So that is a promise. So.
Okay, then I have your voice here.
You do. I am on record saying I am happy to, and see if I can get you some samples.
Well, and I have to say, before I started teaching, because I started when I was 40. So before that, I was raising my kids, and I subbed in the kitchen a few times for the district. And it was like half chickens on cookie sheets. Even in those days, it was real food. Mm-hmm. But it was hard work.
Oh, it's super hard. And so, yeah, shout out to all of our classified that work in all the child nutrition.
Well, our time, we cannot finish all the questions, but we will be going into the questions that mm-hmm. our listeners have submitted.
Okay.
The first question was, overcrowding has become urgent. Everybody has been talking about overcrowding, especially in elementary and middle schools. What measures are taken to address this? Especially what I have been reading and hearing and talking to people, now they're increasing 28 students per class to 30, correct? Is that correct information?
That is not correct information.
Okay, so this is the good place to get the correct information. So what will be the capacity for each class? How many students?
Well, it differs by grade level. For example, TK has a ratio currently of 12 students to one adult. And I believe that it is still on track to go down to 10 to 1. And then you have for grades K through 3, we have what we call a grade span adjustment, which means that across the district, that those grades have to be, I want to say, a maximum of 24 students. And then as you go up into upper elementary, the number of students that can be in a classroom increases. And all of this is contained within the collective bargaining agreements that we bargain with Vacaville Teachers Association. And then usually in middle school and high school, it has to do with number of student contacts per day. But none of those parameters have changed. None of them have been renegotiated. So that's when I, you know, kind of jumped in quickly with the no, there's not an increase. But to get back to the main issue, yes, we have the delightful problem of being the only school district in Solano County with increasing enrollment. Every other school district in Solano County is in decreasing enrollment. And it isn't just because of the building that's happening in Vacaville. It's also because we have an overwhelming influx of students from other districts who want to come to our programs in Vacaville. So that is a wonderful problem to have. But it's a serious problem. And I'm going to speak to the disappointment that I had when we were unable to pass the bond, because the entire point of the bond measure in the last election was to build a new school. Mm-hmm. And the idea for that was going to be to build a new middle school and move middle schools, Jepson and Vacapena and this new school, to a 6-7-8 model, which is what's pretty common throughout Solano County. And that moving the sixth graders out would have addressed, by building one school, it would have addressed the overcrowding at every elementary school in our district. Okay, great plan. We couldn't convince the voters that this was something to support. So now we're back to the drawing board, but that's okay because we've got some great drawings on that drawing board.
I actually want to make a point on that. We have talked to, I know Patty and I talked to a couple of people too, and I talked when I go, you know, with the podcast, from one conversation it goes to other. It was Measure M, correct?
Yes.
So some people said, based on the history, I think 2019, another one had passed. Most people had a hard time seeing the transparency where that money went. Mm-hmm. So if we're going to put another measure, they said, more willingly they would like to vote. However, they want to see more transparency, itemized even, where the money goes, because sometimes people feel like the money is not going where it should be. And again, I am not working in the school district. I have no idea. But I want to just bring the message that they want to see more where this money goes, and they're willing to do that. But they didn't see, I guess, a plan where the money went.
Right. And we heard that too. And we knew that that was going to be one of the obstacles that we would have to overcome if we were going to get that bond passed. I was on the planning committee. We tried to be transparent. Again, I think it goes back to that question of community engagement, of we thought we were engaging the community. We knew some of the questions and we thought we were putting out the answers. But clearly, the results of the election told us that we missed the mark on that. It's a little frustrating in that every time there's a bond, there's always a citizens oversight committee. So for example, the last bond that passed was Measure A, and it's almost completely spent. There's still a few projects. But every single Citizens Oversight Committee report has, which is public, and it's made public at school board meetings, there was never a negative or adverse finding about the spending of that bond money.
Good to know.
So, you know, I respect that people feel that way and that that is their truth. But what I would like to know is, moving forward, how do we address that so that it becomes a discussion of the past that's been asked and answered, and now we can look forward. We are looking at ways to perhaps work with some of the builders that are wanting to build in our area to maybe step up more in funding a new school. We're trying to be creative and finding ways that we can address the overcrowding, which is a real and serious issue. We are not going for a bond in the next election cycle. So we're going to have to find other creative ways. Okay. One exciting thing, and you heard it here first, but it's not a secret, is we have Elmira Elementary that hasn't been functional for a while, mostly because it didn't have internet access. Well, we just found out that now Comcast is having internet access out in that area. So while it is in disarray and we can't open it in August, that is like an example of something that's new since the bond. We didn't know when or if that would ever happen, but now it opens up some opportunities for maybe looking at that site, maybe again talking with some developers and seeing. They always put a nice school square on their planning submission. But, you know, it's a difference between a square on that blueprint and actually having a building with walls and air conditioning and desks that students can go to. Yeah. So we have a staff that's working really hard and being very creative. We're happy that Prop 2 passed in the last election. It does not provide funds for building schools, but it does allow you to apply for reimbursement of some funds if you already expend them. Of course, there's a lot of criteria and a lot of things you have to do, but our facilities and planning department is starting to work on getting us set and ready so that if we do find some creative ways, might we be able to access some of that reimbursement money. But you know, the tough part is you have to have the money ahead of time in order to get reimbursed for it later. So it is a challenge.
And then there was a question about outdated buildings. What measures are being taken?
Well, we are doing improvements on all of our schools. Some of them are very old. We have addressed a lot of the aging issues. Part of it was spurred on, if you want to try to find a silver lining in the whole COVID extravaganza. There was some money for like improved HVACs and ventilation and those sorts of things, which we took full advantage of. So we were able to do some upgrades that way. We did have Measure A that we believe we've used very wisely in doing some modernization. And we are doing, I just read a report on the water line, which is probably not, you know, super visible to students or staff or parents, but it is going to improve how that school functions. I mean, sometimes we have to address, you know, the mechanicals, like you have to put a new roof on your house, but that's not the way you really want to spend your money, but you have to do those sorts of things. And I just learned we had a master plan for the bond, but even though it's only a couple of years old, we are actually going to go through the process this year of writing a new master's facilities plan so that we can very specifically address both the need for modernization and potentially also growth.
Oh, good. Okay, one
and,
more.
And community input would be very welcome in that process. So
community input could be them emailing you, correct, if they can't make it to the meetings. Mm-hmm. What are other ways? Email, phone call?
Email, phone call, and, you know, pay attention to when we notice that there's going to be a community meeting, because a lot of it will happen not during the Thursday night board meetings. It will be, you know, community meetings to talk about the master plan. Again, let us know the best way to reach out to you. That's what we really want to know.
All right. My other question is, somebody had submitted, there's a growing concern over the lack of dental coverage for the staff members. Is that correct?
It is correct in that the dental coverage that, and this is true from myself as a retired teacher, Delta Dental has always been the go-to of who provides dental insurance. And I've been retired 2 years. So starting 2 or 3 years ago, it started becoming an issue that more and more dentists were not accepting Delta Dental. And that's kind of by area, you know, some areas still have very strong Delta Dental coverage. But it is true that there's dental insurance for our employees, but it is also true that some dentists are now no longer accepting that insurance. Mm. So again, that is something that is negotiated with both SEIU 1021, which is our classified employees, and Vacaville Teachers Association, who are certificated employees.
So they will change. So I guess the solution is changing it to a different provider?
Finding a different provider, what are the costs around those? And I don't really know, to be honest, I don't really know why some dental offices, I don't know what the problem is with Delta, you know, what the dentists are finding is the problem. But so it is not true that there isn't insurance coverage, but it is true that it's becoming more of a challenge.
Okay.
That's a good way to put it.
Yeah.
Last question.
Okay.
Future vision. Looking ahead, what's your vision for the future of VUSD, and what steps are being taken to realize that vision?
So I'm going to make sure that I'm very clear that I am speaking for myself when I say this next sentence, although I do believe that the other board members feel very similar to this. I am unapologetically an advocate for public education. It's sort of been woven through all of my answers, but at this time, public education is really coming under attack. And I truly believe it is my responsibility. It is the school board's responsibility. It's the responsibility of families and communities to step up to that challenge. We have dealt in the past with having mandates that weren't fully funded, mm-hmm. and that is a big issue. Mm-hmm. But to think that funding and support, or the privatization of education, that is a road that we need to not go down. Public education is the best equalizer around. It is, in fact, what our whole foundation of our country is, that we need to have an informed citizenry, informed voters. That doesn't, as I've said, it doesn't mean college educated, but what it does mean is critical thinking, empathy, understanding information sources, you know, using the tools that we have. I know didn't get a chance to talk about technology, but understanding the impact of artificial intelligence, understanding the impact of social media, having a citizenry that understands those tools knows how to discern information is really what we need to do in public education, because that is going to be the way that we safeguard what we know and have in our community and in our country. So for me, it's absolutely critical that we stand up and be advocates for public education. Specifically for Vacaville, we are in a very changing and very diverse community, and that is exciting. And it also means that we need to listen to the community to hear what they are thinking and feeling and wanting and needing. We need to stay atop of workforce trends so that we can provide our students with the tools that they need to adapt and thrive in whatever the future is going to look like, because it is fluid. But you can have the tools in your toolbox regardless of what the future brings, but you need to have that those foundational skills. And then we just continue to need to strive to be the very best partner we can for families and the businesses in our community, to make sure that the students who we are raising in Vacaville want to stay here. They want to open businesses, they want to buy homes, you know, they want to raise their families here. They feel that this is a good place to be. And the public schools, as I said, can be the heart of that. So I think if we listen to the community, if we are staying on top of trends, if we are realizing that we need to provide our students the tools and send them out into that ever-changing world as well-rounded and physically, academically, and mentally stable people, that then we will know that we've done our job. But that job continues to change and evolve, and it's our job as a school board to make sure that we are keeping all of that in mind.
Wonderful. Wow. I mean, that was really impactful the way you said it.
Thank you.
You inspired me. I was like, I was also taking a video and listening both of that. I was like, wow.
Well, it's, as I say,
it's a passion.
It's a passion.
Yes, I can see that.
Yeah.
Well, we will wrap up this episode. We would like to thank you so much for joining us and for giving this wonderful information to our listeners.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Well, thank you so much again. Anytime, I'm happy to come back. Okay.
We will have you, and we will come to the kitchen, right, Patty?
Yeah, absolutely.
And we just want to let you know, we have another podcast, which is for our youth. It's called Tomorrow's Table Podcast. There are three high schoolers. Mm-hmm. So we will be getting to interview you by what their needs are, because my needs might be, my questions different than what a high schooler would like from you.
100%. And I know we're wrapping up, but I just want to give a shout out to our student board members, because we have wonderful student board members from each of our high schools, and they are a valuable and integral part to our school board. They have preferential voting, and we get an update, and we get to hear from them, you know, every single board. Mm-hmm. Well, they're done for the year because it's graduation time.
Yes.
And Disneyland.
Yes.
Yeah. My daughter was a school board member.
Awesome.
In high school.
Well, they are.
My sons will be. They're five
and
nine,
will.
But
they will.
I will make sure.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, I hope I'm still on the board, and I will greet them and welcome them into the team.
Thank you so much. We would love to have you then.
Thank you.
Solana Moms, from Patty and I, goodbye.